Todd Pletcher is here. He's in search of a third Kentucky Derby, has a couple of chances this year. Let's start with Cutting Humor. Tell me a little bit about him and his campaign this year. That last win was pretty impressive.
I really think it was. I think the Sunland Derby, maybe isn't on everyone's, at the top of everyone's radar anyways, but he was able to run a mile and an eighth and 1:46.4, which I know the surface was quick that day, but anytime you have a 3-year-old Shade 1:47 in March, to me that's a pretty significant race, and I thought he did it well. He was able to work out a good stalking trip and able to get into that rhythm. Unfortunately, in the Southwest, he wasn't able to do that. He got jostled around in the first turn and kind of lost all chance. But, I think if he's able to get into that same scenario in the Derby where he's able to find a good, comfortable rhythm, and, then I think that would give him a chance.
You say the Sunland Derby isn't on a lot of people's radars. I remember it was 10 years ago, and I stood here interviewing a guy on crutches named Chip Woolley, and it definitely wasn't on anybody's radar then. Mind that Bird pulled off that 50-1 upset. So maybe people should pay attention to that race.
Yeah, I mean, I think over the years it has developed into a solid prep race, and the one thing about it that I like is scheduling wise, it gives you an opportunity. If you decided you needed to race again before the Derby, you have that option, similar to the Louisiana Derby, which we did with Spinoff. But when they run well and you feel like you've hopefully got enough points to get in, you also have that option to train up for 6 weeks.
Spinoff's a horse that's high on a lot of people's list. I've heard his name mentioned several times. He looks great on the racetrack in the mornings. That effort in the Louisiana Derby, I thought was pretty good. Maybe a little unlucky not to get the victory.
Yeah, I think a little bit of it was just his lack of seasoning. And, I thought he ran a good race. As you know, the stretch at the fairground seems to go on forever. And for him to go there first time, he made the lead at the eighth pole. And, I just don't think he was seasoned and experienced enough to know what to do with it. He got to the lead and he kind of idled a little bit. And by my standards, ran a huge race. And by the time he went by him, he re-engaged, but it was a little too late. So I think it was a good experience for him, and certainly should set him up for this being his third race off the layoff, hopefully to run the best he can.
Kurt and I were talking earlier, for a guy that's won two Kentucky Derbies and had so much success in this race, it seems like you're somewhat under the radar this year, almost I'll use the word disrespected a little bit, like athletes love that word, right? Do you feel that way?
No, I mean, I think part of it is we shipped in late. We just came in on Tuesday. We decided to stay at Palm Beach Downs and train there. And, I thought it was important with both horses coming off six-week layoffs to have a consistent schedule. And, the weather looked so good. We were kind of monitoring as we went along. But every time I looked at the 10-day forecast, it was better in Florida than it was in Kentucky. So we decided to stay little longer there, and I think by coming in late, they're coming in under the radar a little bit, and plus both of their prep races were 6 weeks out, so they were the furthest out prep races, and I think everyone's kind of looking at what's going on recently. But I actually don't mind it. I like coming in under the radar a little bit, and if the horses show up on Saturday, there'll be plenty of attention then.
Will you still go back and watch the replays of Super Saver and Always Dreaming from time to time, just kind of pull it up on the internet and spend some time looking at those?
Yeah, we'll do that every once in a while. So maybe you had a bad day, you want to build your spirits a little bit, and that'll certainly do it.
I talked to Bob the other day, and here trying to win six Kentucky Derbies, and I mean, unbelievable. You've been here several times, you've won the two. Put into perspective how big an accomplishment that is to win six Kentucky Derbies.
It's a remarkable achievement, especially when you think about he lost a really tough one with Cavaneer, and then Bodie Meister ran huge. I mean, he's obviously figured out what it takes and how to get horses ready for the Derby and for them to perform well. So it's a remarkable achievement. And, last night at the Derby Trainers Dinner, I think, even though he's won six, he's looking for that sixth. And it's just each one, is even more special than the previous one. And part of that is, like he said, with the owners and seeing their excitement and everything for it. I think that's what, for us trainers, makes it all the more, exciting and rewarding.
I'm glad you brought up the owners. Kurt, you had a couple ownership questions regarding Todd's two horses.
Well, one thing, we've got a running joke when it comes to the Wertheimer family, because it'll always say Wertheimer and Frere. So we always like to joke we never see this Frere fella show up. will members of that family make the trip? Will they be here on Saturday?
Yes, the Wertheimers are planning to be here, and they don't go racing a lot in America, so it's a big deal, and they're very excited about it. And the Wertheimer and Ferrer thing, especially when we first started training for, was like a running joke, because everywhere we would go, every state licensing office would call and say, "You need a license for Ferrer." And so I guess for those that don't know, it means brothers in French, and so they were always kind of looking to license one other person.
With regard to their horse spinoff, I've always found it interesting. It's one thing if you go with a client to a yearling sale or a two-year-old in training sale and you pick one out. It's another thing when you have a client who has homebreds. When you first saw spinoff, I mean, obviously, when the Wertheimers come calling, you're going to train for them. What were your first impressions of spinoff?
Well, actually, he went to my dad's training center in Ocala, I think at the end of September of his yearling year. And so I usually spend Christmas at my dad's in Ocala. So the first time I see most of the yearlings that are homebreds or whatever that we didn't select at sales is around that time. And by the time that I got there, they were already telling me, you know, the Wertheimers have a nice hard spun colt. So, it was a big scopey horse, had a nice way of going. And it's, as much as you can tell at that time when they're just beginning to go to the racetrack, he looked like, he could be a nice colt. So, I mean, we kind of had hopes and expectations for him all the way from the beginning.
Has your dad over the years been a go-to guy? Is he someone you'll pull out the cell phone once in a while and have you called him over the years and said, you know, I've got a question on a horse. I'm trying to figure this out. What's your take?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, we spend a lot of time talking. We usually speak early in the morning, and, he's had a lot of experience. And sometimes, you know, there are certain things that no matter how long you've been in the business, maybe you haven't seen it or someone else knows a better way to approach it. So, yeah, we bounce ideas off one another all the time. And, you know, especially when you have some difficult cases, you like to talk to guys like that have a lot of wisdom.
Do you remember what your dad said to you when you won your first Derby here with Super Saver?
Probably like it's about time or something. I don't know.
One of the things I find interesting about this year's situation is Johnny V's in the race. He's not riding a Todd Pletcher trained horse. Okay, fine. So then you start looking for who you can get. With Corey Lannery, when you can get a guy who just a few days ago got his 1,000th Churchill Downs victory, were you satisfied with that?
Well, I mean, that's exactly why we chose Corey. You know, there was, some other options. But, when we looked at it, I feel like Churchill can be a quirky surface. And, you know, I think there are certain guys like Corey and Brian Hernandez and some of these guys that have sort of ridden here for years and watched Calvin and his success over the track, and I think have picked up, you know, some of his tricks, if you want to call them, or just his insight into how the track needs to be ridden. And it's not necessarily that Corey's going to be able to find the rail with Cutting Humor and you know, get the same trip that we got with Super Saver, you know, from an inside post. But, you know, I do think that there is an edge to those guys knowing this oval really well, and that's why we decided Corey seemed like a good fit.
Tell me and explain for our audience, if folks have seen the name Manny Franco, but maybe he doesn't ride in a part of the country where they're real familiar with him. He's young, but he's obviously good. What are the strengths Manny Franco will bring to the table for you on Saturday?
Well, I mean, I think Manny is on his way to being a superstar, and like John Velasquez, Angel Cordero is his agent, mentor, and so even though he's a young rider, he's experienced. He had a tremendous winter at Aqueduct, won a lot of races for us. I think he's got confidence on his side and momentum on his side. And I tell you, one of the things that impressed me, it's funny how you get impressions of someone, but every summer at Saratoga, the racetrack chaplaincy has a fundraiser for the New York racetrack chaplaincy, and it's jockeys versus trainers basketball game. And the first time that I really took note, he was like 18 years old, and what an athlete. And so after finding out a little more, not only can he play basketball, he was like on a junior Puerto Rican junior baseball team, you know, and so he's he really caught my attention then, and you can just see as he's gradually gotten better and better, and you know, he's a tremendous apprentice, and he's made that transition to journeyman. And you know, we're blessed in New York to have a really strong riding colony, and some guys like Manny and Jose Ortiz and Irad Ortiz that are young guys that are riding at an exceptionally high level. And I think, you know, Manny, for those that maybe don't know him nationally or globally, they will.
Did you have to guard Manny in that basketball game?
Nah, this is when I stepped over to the coaching side. I hung up my sneakers a few years ago.
Good luck on Saturday, my friend. Go get number 3.
All right, thank you.